There we go. I'm not used to doing that part. Okay, there we go.
All right, so again, these are all of the possible candidates and it's with their cumulative score. And then I also believe you have that visually on the map, right? Isn't this the map? So that's kind of the detail when you want to go into it. And then we're blessed with so many different slices and dices by the team. Yeah. I really appreciate that. There's a cumulative scoring graph that then shows you that visually and color coded.
The map,
yeah. The map.
It is. It's one of these.
The other one. There we go. All right. So that's all the candidates. And they're color coded. And the darker the color, the higher the cumulative score.
Correct.
So you can get a sense visually of where these different candidates sit in our county. So I think that's kind of the backdrop, right? Mm-hmm. Of today's conversation, which is that the staff looked at all of that, put together a theme and came up with a proposal. And so you want to continue on with that conversation?
Sure.
Great. Yeah. Thanks.
So we looked at all of the candidates. We looked at the cumulative scoring. We looked at individual scoring, cost, and geographical placement. And so the map that we have with the 150% list is here. Let me make it a little bit smaller so we can see all of it. Okay. If you'll note, 756 is a bundled proposal. That is all of the crossings on Waterhouse Trail. So we'll go out to bid with one contractor for that and do all of those at the same time. So that's one proposal, but it's in four different sites. And so of the six proposals that we have, there are three north of 26, three south of 26. And each of these has some sort of leverage, some funding coming from another source. Or it's as in the case of Parkview Boulevard, it is a project, a proposal that we've already designed. So earned dollars have already been spent to design this project. It just needs to be constructed. And so that's why we added it on the list to leverage those funds. If we look on the, if you look at the proposal list, it should show you what the funds are that are being leveraged. Where's the 150%? Please forgive me while I go through all of these maps again. Here we go. Let's see. Well, there's one missing, the first and last mile on Spruce Street. Shelley, can you help fill in the blanks for number 664? Do you remember anything about that?
You want to know what the leverage?
What the leverage is, and also for 610A.
Yeah. I mean, we could go through each of them really quickly if you want to.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's just start at the top of the list and I'll just go down through each of them quickly. Parkview Boulevard from 183rd to Tillamook Drive. This is by a park and this is a safe route to school. It was designed, but then the cost to construct was too expensive to just do as a project with available funding in operation, so that it went on to the list for you guys to look at and consider funding. So the design is already complete for that one, and that would provide access, safe routes to school and to the park as well in that neighborhood. And the next one should be 187th from TV Highway to Cascade Drive. This is the part of the Loa Town Center area. And there is a group of funding a group of projects that have been funded for the Loa Town Center area. So there'll be several million that'll be poured into this area, but this is one of the sections where there's a gap in sidewalk funding, which is just a few blocks off of 185th. So it's really a parallel route. And this would complete kind of a good north-south connection right next to, if you're familiar with that area, there's like a Big Lot store and another little shopping center and food carts right there on the corner of 185th and TV Highway. So it would be adjacent to that area and continue north to some apartment complexes.
Where did you say the funding was coming? The leveraged funding was coming from?
From like a federal grant through Metro that is doing some sidewalk access to transit for the Loa Town Center area.
Super, thank you.
Yeah, and then Spruce Street from 80th Hall Boulevard. We have two projects. One is that ODOT at Spruce and Hall Boulevard is going to be installing a pedestrian crossing of Hall Boulevard. And they have a project to do that. And then in the Metzger area, the county, as a gain share project, we're looking at improving the access ways, which are, there's little street, little connections at the end of different dead end streets that connect through in this kind of grid area, but they're dirt paths. So we're going to be improving these access points. So there would be a continuous connection and a crossing of Hall Boulevard along this project with the other projects that are going on in the area. West Union at Claremont Drive. This is a pedestrian crossing we looked at in the last round in a bundle. The bundle of crossings we looked at, but wasn't selected. There was a pedestrian crash at that location with a pedestrian in 2020. So it was shortly after we made the selections for projects that year. And so this one, and there's also a crossing at 178th. Traffic section will be doing the analysis for the crossings for those locations. So this would look at putting a rapid flashing beacon in at West Union and Claremont. And then there's also a pedestrian crossing, school crossing with the project 178th Blanton to Shaw Street. It's a sidewalk and a pedestrian crossing would be right across from ISB, the International School of Beaverton, on Blanton. And there really isn't any crossings on Blanton. There is crossings of TV Highway at 178th and sidewalks north of there that continue. Waterhouse Trail pedestrian crossing projects. These crossings have already been analyzed and have some initial design work that has been done. And THPRD is contributing $100,000 to the project. So this would provide some ADA access to trail, parks, community garden, and really make it more of a transportation function for this north-south connection.
I didn't quite catch the leverage areas for the 664, 679, and 755.
Yeah, so those are really the leverages that we've done the analysis for the crossing okay. analysis for those two projects, so that has been that has been completed.
Which is expensive. If you recall, there were a number of crossings that we couldn't include in the 2021 list because the analysis hadn't been paid and the reason, or hadn't been completed. And the reason we were able to do the ones that we did was because actually, I think the analysis was leveraged for that one too, wasn't it, Shelley, in the 2021 cycle? Wasn't it paid by THPRD or partially paid?
Yeah, partially. Yeah, the one was partially paid by THPRD and then partially paid by THPRD. And then, you know, we did some internally in our traffic section to just verify that they were eligible for crossing enhancement.
And then 664. The leverage is that there are other projects immediately adjacent to this one that are being built by ODOT, and then the gain share access ways improvement.
Yep.
County gain share.
And then 610A was federal grants through Metro.
Right. Any questions from any of the members? It's a very short list this cycle.
Yeah.
I have a request, I guess, see what people think. Since the list is fairly short and you just gave us a whole lot of information and I couldn't write down all the notes for everything you said, I'm wondering if it would be reasonable to ask staff to prepare, you know, a little one-pager fact sheet for each of these projects so that we had that basic information.
Sure, yeah.
When we're out running around looking at them, because I won't remember a lot of what I heard, I'm afraid.
You bet.
We can do that easily and provide that. There's just so many projects needed in our community. It's so hard to pare down the list, but we think these have good benefit to the community and again build on existing investments.
And the projects are getting more expensive. When we first started this, $500,000 was our kind of upper threshold, and that was an expensive project. And anything that was over $1 million or approaching two, we wouldn't even consider it. So, now, just with the fact that we got a lot of those kind of low-hanging fruit projects off the list, and then just the cost of projects these days. So it doesn't surprise us that, you know, we have two things going against us, right? We have just a smaller number for for the projects, so just, as far as the money goes, and then with the increased cost, right? So those two things kind of compound.
Push that list down.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just simple math, at $3 million a year for 120, it's going to take us 40 years. We have a job for a long time.
I think there's a term limit, though, Dirk.
And there are, We didn't even discuss anything over 2 million, and I didn't share any of the proposals over 2 million, but just for your information, there are probably 80 to 100 between the 2 million and whatever the upper number is beyond this list.
Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, I had a comment and a question.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's hard for me to see those hands. Just jumping right in. Thanks, Daniel.
You bet. Let me lower it. Well, thank you to staff for preparing this. I appreciated the various themes in the spreadsheet too, trying to think through how to provide recommendations, given that we had so many times of the funding available in project needs in our communities. It's kind of an impossible task. And, the fact that the scoring didn't really seem to weigh in, at least as best I could tell, into the process of selecting projects for the top 150%, sort of makes me wonder how necessary it is to put the work into doing the scoring in the future. if it's not really going to be a factor, you know, I'm assuming that it took someone hours of their life to do it. Because like I noticed, for example, we had 4 sixes, which was the top score of the cumulative scoring, and none of them were included. And then of the 13 fives, only one was included in our 150% list. So I think, if you know, it might be beneficial for us, just as a reflection next time we do this, to try and be more clear on the path that we want to move forward. Like, we want to leverage this year. So like, we want to make sure every project included has that factor. Beyond that, it's, you know, maybe less important to do some of the scoring. So that was just the first thing I noticed, was that, you know, quite a few of these didn't score well, right? Or didn't score very high by that, like, you know, framework we had set out in advance of the scoring. The other thing I noticed is that more than half of the funding exactly half of the projects go to projects that do not, that didn't trigger an equity score, right? So didn't in your database have a surrounding community that triggered that metro definition. Obviously, you know, coming into this, my hope is that we would be prioritizing projects that had a higher impact on communities of color or lower income communities in our region. And so I think that was, you know, recognizing that the priority coming into this wasn't high equity scores or high cumulative scores, but was leveraging. That makes sense. But I think that's just kind of a reflection that I don't know. I'm not sure I love as an outcome, but I appreciate that there was a logic to it. And then the question I had was, it looks like, and apologies that I don't know these areas as well yet, but the Parkview route, is there a sidewalk on one side of the road already in that path connected to the park? This would just be putting it on the other side of the road too?
Yeah, so there is a sidewalk on the other side. What happened is on the north side, there is two houses or three houses between 183rd and Tillamook that back up the back up to the roadway. And at the time they were constructed, they never had to put a sidewalk in because it wasn't their frontage. And because of that missing sidewalk, there is one bus that is needed to transport students from that neighborhood on the north to the east to Bethany Elementary. And if that little section was in place, then they wouldn't need a bus for that school. So it's the last bus for Bethany Elementary School for about, the last I heard it was like 6 or 8 students that ride that bus, to the tune of, you know, a bus probably costs, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 a year to run. So, or more. I'm sure it's inflated now, but to run that one route, it costs you about that much.
Well, that is wild, but thanks for the explanation. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So this has been kind of on the list for a while. And we thought, because it was just a short frontage and there's already curb in place, it could be done just with discretionary, you know, available funding that was available. But the cost to construct, the construction cost kind of escalated so much that it was beyond the just the little discretionary funds that, you know, that ops has available and other groups have available to get stuff done like this. So yeah, but we definitely looked at the scoring criteria. I mean, there was a few projects that we really wanted to do, but they were pretty high. The cost was pretty high for them too, if it would just be doing one or two projects. So I think we also identified that, we also acknowledged that a lot of times for other available grants, equity is highly weighted. So some of the projects we think we could go after grants for and be fairly successful. So some of them were like, well, I think we should, where some of these projects we probably couldn't score very well in some of the grant applications that are available out there. And even because they don't look at leveraging the same way, they look more at your scores. So But yeah, in the future, if that's definitely a priority, we could look at that if that's a priority for project selection moving forward.
And we can, and ultimately, IRMDAC, you as members decide, as you know, Daniel, you've been through this so many times. You ultimately decide what the proposals are. We just try and identify some themes where we can pull together different proposals kind of under one umbrella so that it makes sense as a package to recommend. And leveraging just seemed to stand out. But your point about equity is very well taken. And we can certainly, if that is the wish of the committee going forward, we can identify maybe some themes that are important to members even before staff finalizes their recommendations. So we can include that in the, you know, in the consideration.
Any other comments?
This is Michelle Emus.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I agree with Daniel Hauser's viewpoint on this. I'm looking at it from a different perspective, yet I have a similar conclusion. You know, just, you know, CPO 7 has three items on here. And I don't know. I just feel like we could do a better effort regarding that equity and maybe assessing other CPOs as well. So that's all.
Good comment. Any others?
Yeah, I'm on the same side as that as well, as I'm also just seeing that we have all these, like, how do we get these items that have been assessed as a level six, number six? If these are high risk areas and are in need, how do we make sure that those actually get funded in the future?
Okay, any other comments?
Yeah, I just had one other thing to add if I could. Sure. Something that I was also thinking about here is because we have so few projects and a couple of them are so expensive as a share of our total available funds, there's only like a couple of ways we could actually use the funds fully with this list, right? If we did all of the cheaper projects, you know, we'd have not enough left to fund one of the bigger projects, right? And so it's just sort of like going to be an interesting math challenge, because in the past, right, we've had a bunch of bigger and smaller projects and have been able to put together, you know, a sort of mash things together in a way that worked well for the available funding. And like we've talked about in the past, it's, you know, not an issue if we're over or under our target by 100 grand or something, right? So it does make me wonder if, like, just for partly so we'll be able to better match together a list. And also because, you know, I noticed two of the sixes are also, in terms of cumulative scores, also have equity score flags, Project 58 and 534 Parkway and 180th. And, you know, one of them's 500,000, one of them's a million. I do wonder if those two can be considered for being brought into our list to go out for comment on. Because it would give us a little bit more options for how we can fit together projects. And I didn't check which CPOs they're in to see, you know, it might be the very same CPOs. We already have three projects in, Michelle, but it may give us some other options. And obviously, because of the how highly they score, they're also, you know, close to things like schools and population density. And it kind of gets to this endless struggle we have, right, that I keep coming back to, that we need more money, right? Like, we need to do more of these projects. We need more money. The bane of my existence. But those would just be two, just going off of like the scoring and evaluation and looking at Google Maps, you know, views of those routes, that seem like they would be good ones for us to consider potentially adding on to the list. Now, I say that as someone in the past who has like regularly tried to stop us from sending a 500% list out for comment. Like, I don't want to waste a bunch of people's times getting comment on projects that won't get funded. So I offer these as options that could make our public outreach process more successful and live up to our sort of ranking and equity priority. But it, you know, it's not like a super strong request, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, Daniel, I'm going to chime in here, and I'm going to sit far away from Sherry so she doesn't kick me under the table. But just kind of to bring the group back to kind of center as far as the list goes, right? So you do as a committee have discretion, right, as far as what you want to focus on. Basically, everything on the proposal list, they're all good projects, right? They're all doable. They're all viable, and you know, any one of them would be good. So what your charge is as a group is to figure out the best way to select and recommend those projects. If you have different ideas about where you want to focus your energies on as a committee, you know, that's your prerogative, right? That's what you're here for. So I don't want you to think, and I kind of heard it in your tone or your message there, Daniel, that you were thinking like, oh, well, you know, it'd be nice to do this, but here we are, it'd be nice to do that. If there's a different direction, we're early enough in the process, right? That if the committee wants to go in a different direction, we certainly can. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, the scope and scale, and Daniel, you know, you've been around and others have been around long enough to have seen kind of the evolution of how this has gone. There's no mandate as far as how the projects are selected. You have a lot of leeway and a lot of discretion as a group. We do some cursory review to make sure that, you know, stuff is viable, that it's on earned eligible roads, that it's buildable, right? Because we don't want you guys to go through the process and then find out, oh, nope, we can't do this after all. So I just want to lay that out there so that if the group doesn't feel really enthusiastic about where you're at right now with this, you're more than you as a group. I'm not trying to put you, I'm not saying you, Daniel, but you as a group are more than welcome to revisit this. And we can tackle it in a different direction.
And not only welcome, but invited to, because ultimately it is your names on the recommendation.
Right.
So if it's something, you know, if another direction would make you feel happier about signing that recommendation, then yeah, go for it. Proceed.
So I just looked at three of the four that have cumulative scores of 6 are in CPO 1. So it looks like there's one area that could really use some attention, a community.
So 4 of the 6?
Yeah, the level 6 or level the community 6. Score 6. Uh-huh.
Right.
Out of the 4, 3 of them are in CPO 1.
And they're up on the board now. Oh, but the CPOs are not there. Thank you, Meredith. Okay.
Yeah.
Which ones are they in CPO1?
The CPO1 is 640, 399, and 058.
Okay, so that was 58, which is the same one that Daniel mentioned.
You found a way that we didn't slice it and dice it for you.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, clearly, you know, what we're hearing here from several members is that there's maybe some other things we want to look at in addition to leverage. But I also, you know, it's how would we adjust this list, not making it, like Daniel said, a 500% list. We want to make it reasonable so that we're looking at things that have a real chance of actually being funded, but meet the needs or feel more appropriate candidates for this year, looking at the cumulative score and then looking at equity score and then a little bit more on the CPO, looking at making sure there's not that the CPOs are, there's a variety of CPO candidates in there as well. So then the question would be, I mean, the one great thing is we're early in the process, like Todd said. So I think we have between now, next meeting. We usually go out, as you guys know, we lock and load, and then we go out in June and we do our walking. During that time, the public comments are coming in because we have the public, the communication package out, and people and the public's commenting in, and then we're out there talking, and then we bring that all back together in July. So we do have here some time to make suggestions or change the 150%, whatever list we want to start with, right? Our proposed list. So if that's something that as members we want to do, then we've got, you know, we got to talk about, you know, how to do that and make sure that when we come back in May, we can lock and load on the list. So we have that ready to go. We listen to the communication plan, and then we're out walking and, you know, checking out these candidates, these sites. Is that what you guys like to do? Would you like, what do you, comments on that discussion? Do we want to, you know, look at this and change this list?
Could I?
Commissioner Trees has her hand up.
Thank you. I'm sorry, that yellow in the sun is blending in my eyes. Thank you for highlighting that. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but you know, you don't know whether or not to jump in or not, right?
Jump away. Always jump away.
Okay. Well, I guess one of the questions I would have, I think when we're looking at not overloading one CPO, so to speak, I think it would be helpful too if we had a historical perspective on where we've made these investments as well. I may have missed that in the comments earlier. Sherry,
I think that's important. You know, the staff can provide insight to some of these projects too. Like, for example, those ones on 160th that rate really highly. Well, just not very far, just to the east, is the West Side Trail. So those haven't been a priority because we do have an alternative very close that is in place. And really, the section where we're missing is from TV Highway to Blanton, which we are, you know, I am working with ODOT because it involves a railroad crossing to come up with concepts. So improving sidewalks and bike lanes on 160th are, for us, would not be as high a priority as maybe another project because we have an alternative route, parallel route, not very far. So those kind of insights we can provide and information if you want us to look at the highest ranking cumulative score, or some of the higher ranking equity scores, we can provide some of those, that information and insight and history.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful because otherwise we're kind of just comparing based on what's on, you know, what's in our printed material and available. So
right. So the map that I'm sharing now is you mentioned, look at the history, Commissioner Treese. These are all the projects in the program and since inception that have been constructed or completed, are in construction or are in design. So these are all the prior selections. You can get a kind of a sense of geographically how they're distributed.
And we can provide that in tabular data too, because it is kind of hard to tell what the scale of the map where things are, but we can give that as a resource also.
I see two more hands.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. Who?
Are the red hands up? Hands up? Or are they?
Daniel's hand is up.
All right, since Daniel, you want to go? See, I can't see Daniel's hand.
I just put it down.
Oh, okay.
Said Daniel's hand was up.
I'm going to bring my computer next time.
And certainly if others want to weigh in, I'm happy to wait. I just didn't want you to move on thinking no one else had comment.
No, go, Daniel, please.
Okay, thank you. I do not want it to come across in my recommendations to like abandon the leveraging priority. I think that's a great starting point. The two projects I noted would bring us up to a 200% list, right? So still in the like realm of reasonability while adding two projects. And Meredith, I didn't track the numbers you noted in terms of which ones were in which CPOs to spread things out more or not. So I don't know how well those, you know, do or don't align with that sort of geographic question. But I guess that would just be like a simpler version without sort of blowing things up would be my recommendation or request would just be to add those two additional projects to the lists, right? So we'd be going from what, 6 projects to 8 projects in total. And in the past we've had what, 20 something, you know, like this is still a relatively small public outreach, 150% list, you know, type process than we've done in the past, right? This isn't like we're blowing the list out of the water and totally, you know, overloading the community engagement team and comms group with work. But I guess that would be, and Shelley, if there's like very practical reasons why those weren't included or why those are not good projects to consider relative to the alternatives, I think that's totally fine too, right? I picked those out of a relatively objective attempt at just looking at cumulative and looking at equity. Those are the only two that were 6 in cumulative and had an equity trigger. And, you know, we're under the $2 million threshold in the spreadsheet. So if there are others that kind of like meet that goal, I'm certainly open to it, but I don't want to necessarily have us like throw this list out and start over with new filters or anything like that. I do think focusing on leveraging makes sense. It's often what we choose to fund because of the reason that there's dollars in it for us to reach more projects in the long run. So I really support that way as using a framework. I think I would just add these two additional projects to help give us a little bit better of a distribution for equity in particular.
And 58 and 534, Meredith, which CPO did you say those were in? Oh, 58 is in CPO 1. 534 is in?
That's CPO 6. 534 is in CPO 6.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys feel about using the list, the staff recommended list, with 58 and 534 added to it for a 200% list to put out for public comment?
Or another question here is, are there any members who would like to have a little bit more time to look through this list and make any other recommendations or changes? Are you guys feeling comfortable that, are you feeling comfortable enough with the recommendations and the analysis, or do you want to contemplate it some more?
Which you certainly can, because the 150% list doesn't have to be determined until May.
To May. Yeah. So that's my question, is if we can make a decision today and what the list is like, or there's others still saying, hey, you know, I'd like to spend a little bit more time looking at, you know, all of these lists and kind of what's in my head for criteria and would like to do one more round on it before we lock and load. That's my question.
How about,
yeah,
raise my hand.
Yeah, I can see yours.
Can you see my hand?
The glasses when I get home.
Let me just throw out an idea and see what people think. What if we ask staff to do these one pagers that we've talked about before, adding a one pager for each of the two additional projects that Daniel has spoken about? And if those could get to us before the next meeting, so we could ponder that a little bit, and then perhaps next meeting decide what the list should be that goes to the hearing, to the public for comment.
We could certainly do that. And we could make it well before the next meeting. We could do it before the end of March or maybe middle of April.
Yeah, so a chance.
Yeah. So just a suggestion, see what people think.
All right.
Right. And so with this project group that's in front of you today, right, there was a certain kind of angle to it, right, that we took, you know, bundled them as leveraging. Right. And I think, Dick, that document you've asked for, I think that's going to be helpful, because I know it's like all the stuff starts running together after a while. And to have something in front of you that says, especially if you're out like walking the street. So I'm wondering then, are there going to be, if we get to, let's say the next meeting though, and are you going to want additional information? You know, are you going to want another like one page summary for the next round, right? So then we might get into a crunch. So I'm wondering, is there any time today that we could spend a little bit with the group? I don't know how much time we have to maybe even provide you some more information that the group would want, so that come May, when we do have to finalize the list, I mean, do you want to explore any other sort of options as far as how to slice and dice the bigger list today? And then maybe we can come back with a handful of these summaries for you. Because I just don't want us to get back and then you're saying, okay, right. Well, let's try this. And
then right. We are like, right. Well, here's another one. Yeah, we don't want that.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does. And so that's kind of like if, you know, and that was kind of my question going around. Do people want more time to kind of go through this list again and look at it from, you know, whatever view and eye that you have and say, oh, I'd also like to propose one more, right? So we don't want to get into this, you know,
right. That's,
or we're kind of knitting and here's another one. We've got a lock and load in May. So it sounds like the six that are on the table, everybody feels good about, and the leverage and how they got there through the leverage focus is good. There's two more proposals on the table by Daniel, which, you know, with the cumulative high scoring and equity score to add to that. So my question is for the rest of the members, do you want, yeah, we can't nickel and dime the team, right? We have to, if there's additional proposals, candidates that we want to throw into the mix, it's now or in the next couple of weeks,
right.
That information would need to get to Sherry so that it could be added in this one pager, because we want to come in May and be able to make the decision. Here's the list that we're going to use. Here's just what we're going to go communicate out to the public. And here's where these are the candidates we're going to go walk and look at and explore.
Right. And you can use today's time as a group to mm-hmm. talk about that, you can't do this as a group through email, but you could always, because yeah, don't want to get in trouble, right?
Don't get in trouble. Remember our ethics. Right.
But you can send inquiries to Sherry. And so if any of you did want to, let's say after today, say, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? And then let's just say, we'll just say like by the, you know, like in the next week, right? So that we do have some like date certain.
Right.
By the end of next week, that get, you know, your final ideas into Sherry.
And I have a list of everyone.
That way she has an entire package.
Great. Yeah.
Right. And then that way she'll know then what her workload is, what her task is in front of her, because she's going to have to get, you know, other folks involved as well. But that seems like that would be good. And so, like I said, you have today as a group to chat, or you can individually send your stuff to Sherry.
Yeah, so we do have time since we did not have our one presentation. So I have my two pieces of paper. So we could, you know, we've got another, you know, 40 minutes that we can chat on this. So what would we like to do? We did a little bit of looking at the top six. Do we want to ask, we have all the experts here, or is there any discussion and more reviewing that or looking at that we want to see if some of these other candidates based on cumulative store, based on equity, based on CPO, what CPO they live in? Any other questions do we have that we want to ask the team, the staff? Yes, Linda.
I would also be interested. I'm looking at it. I was looking at the map 564. I believe it's on Kinnaman. I'm looking at the map and then trying to find it on the score sheets.
Yes, Kinnaman from Farmington to 185th.
Yeah. I'm fairly interested in that project in that I know it has a pretty large infrastructure need specifically in that area. And I didn't know how much of a priority it came. Is it 564? Let me see. Is that the?
Kinnaman from Farmington.
Is that the one that we were talking about adding?
No.
I've got all the maps.
That's 536.
Okay.
Isn't it 534?
534, sorry.
534 is what we're talking about adding. And then 564 is also adjacent there on Kinnaman.
So is there some additional information on 564?
Yeah, I would be interested in getting additional information on that.
Team, do you have anything that we could offer right now for more information, or should we provide that later?
I know that we've done projects on that section of Kinnaman in the past, and I mean, there is a path on, well, the directions are kind of wonky, but the south, we'll say the south side of the angle is the road. It runs at kind of an angle. And then we added some sidewalk, I believe, on the north side, but I believe there's a section we weren't able to complete because of right-of-way, but if that's on the table, I think at the time we were looking at projects that didn't require right-of-way for ERMed, and now that's something that we're allowed to spend money on, ERMed money, so we possibly could look at it again. You know, I think as most of us know, like Kinnaman in general, from one end to the other needs to be a complete street. Similar to like Blanton and Johnson. I mean, we have lots of these collectors that lack sidewalks, lack bike lanes, and carry quite a bit of traffic and of all different types of traffic and are adjacent to schools. So, but they're also then end up being the more expensive projects out there. And it's always, I think it's hard for staff, you know, particularly hard for me because I wear multiple hats and I try to advocate for all the different users. And often it's hard to, when people are asking for bike lanes and sidewalks along the same roadways, to say, okay, let's build the sidewalk, which then precludes the building of a bike lane. Because otherwise you're going to need to buy right of way for the whole road, right?
Thank you, Shelley.
Yeah, and I guess part of my thoughts on that, it seems like sometimes, especially like with Blanton, we've pulled some projects off, and I think Shelley knows that Blanton would be a great project, and it's up for review as part of a different project. But when these projects are so big, because there is such a great need, it seems like it ends up getting pushed, and it takes so long to do that the communities that really need some sort of infrastructure built up there end up waiting a long time so they can get a big project, but then it takes so long to get those larger projects in place. It seems like, you know, kind of trying to at least infill in the meantime, like along Kinnaman or Blanton, to try and get those in place where we can, right? We don't have a lot of money, but makes sense to me.
So Linda, are you saying you'd like to add 564 to our list for more information?
I would, but if, you know, it's up to everyone, right? I don't need to have it just for me.
I think we can add it to the list. That's fine.
That is a bigger project, so I know that's going to up 50%, but we can. I think we'd rather have everything there and then whittle it down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Much easier.
Not have things there and then add them forward. So we want anybody who is a site interester in any project to just get it in there. And then if it comes to like we're at, you know, a list that's got, you know, 500% or something, then we can have that conversation in our May meeting about reducing the list, right? Trimming it down. But let's get the information on any candidate that anybody is interested in or wants to propose to be added. Now's the time for that discussion. So thanks, Linda.
And the information that we'll provide in this one page will be things like leveraging equity scores,
total score,
total score for transit,
CPO. Yeah, that seems to be the additional requests. Total score, equity, transit, and CPO. Anyone else? Daniel?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to the list of things for the one-pagers. It might be good if staff has any feedback around like upcoming projects that would overlap or bundling or leveraging, if there's any insights around, like, you know, prior investment, like in terms of Kinnaman, you know, that kind of history, if there's any way to get some of those, at least for those, I mean, just for those targeted projects we're talking about, included on that, you know, one pager, that'd be really helpful.
Yeah. Any other comments? All right, so what I've heard is the proposal request is to have one page each for the list of candidates we're considering. That would include, the leveraging, their history, CPO, transit school, equity total score, the things we've talked about. So we have one pager that kind of gives us a good view of each one of those candidates. And that would include the six that we have here that's listed, plus three more, which was 58, 534, and 564. So is that, did I get all that right? Was that correct summary of our conversation?
That's what I had so far.
Thank you, Daniel. all right. And then do we still want to give everybody the opportunity for a week? So
absolutely.
So if you want to consider this and ponder a little bit more and say, okay, you know, I've need a little bit more time to kind of think about this and maybe, you know, get in your car and drive some places. You still have till March 20th.
Whatever the end of next week is.
Yeah, let's hope. Okay.
Hit the 20th.
March 24th?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have till March 24th to send an email to Sherry.
Sherry Gray.
Gray. Matt McFall. About any request to add anything else to this list. And at this time, if you have an interest in something, you know, Mile, let's get it on the list. I'd rather have it included and then taken off in May versus you wonder and never have that conversation, because we definitely want to have those conversations. So does that sound reasonable to everyone? I'm sorry, Meredith.
I'm supposed to say then maybe should we have all four of the ones that scored the cumulative six? Should those be talked about then? I mean, it's because it's there's two others that, you know, there's two on there that are at $500,000, so they are the smaller projects, but all of them are scoring in like safety issues and schools and such too, so maybe all four of them just need an info sheet.
So Meredith, which additional numbers are those?
Because let's see, so that would be, so it's the 534, which should already be on your list, and then 640 and 399 and the 058, I think you already have written down.
Okay, so what's the addition of 640 and 399?
Yes, that'd be correct.
Okay.
And, you know, conveniently, I noticed that the four proposals that have equity of six total $3.5 million. So the downside is that three of them are located in the same CPO, so you know that might not be the best, but it's pretty close to our 3.1. So that's what, when we hit these one pages, we can look at, you know, the equity scores versus the cumulative scores versus CPO, and you know, looking at that balance, right? So do we want to add those two? Does that sound good to everybody?
Yep.
Okay. So we have the leverage list, and then we have the top four equity scores, which all are six, and 564. And 564. All right. So we're adding five more to the list. Sound good? All right. And you still have till March 24th to make any additional comments. And then what we'll do is we'll come in on May and we'll have a conversation about the list again and see if we want to keep it the way it is or trim it down a bit. And we'll lock and load on our proposed list, whatever percent it is. Sound good? Great conversation, guys. Thanks. Good, thoughtful comments. All right. With that, we move to the member roundtable.
So before we get there,
okay,
I'm going to kind of intervene a little bit and add some commentary. So yesterday, we gave a presentation to the board at the work session for the continuation of the district, and that'll go before the board. They'll set a public hearing on April 4th, and then they will consider during the public hearing on the 18th to continue the district for another 10 years.
And also renew the IG.
And renew the IGA, because right now the district is a standalone entity, and we have an IGA between the district and the county to administer the district and do the work. But I'm going to share my screen because I just want to remind people kind of about what ERMD is about and kind of what's ahead of us. So let me share my screen here if I can do this without breaking anything. Share screen. Okay. Everyone see that? Okay. So this is...
Can I interrupt? Commissioner Treese has...
Oh, Commissioner Treese. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Sherry. I just wanted to say, it looks like you're going to go over all or part of the presentation from yesterday. And I just want to say to the group that it was a good presentation, but most importantly, all five commissioners are in support. So I hope I'm not taking your thunder away here.
Oh,
but,
no, no.
I think it's really important because you said that you presented to us and we're going to review it on these days, but you got a thumbs up from every single one. And I did take a moment and talk about this group and the fact that this group is very, very engaged and does a great job in doing exactly what we just went through, is thinking about all these things. It's very thoughtful. It's very methodical. And I'm really proud to be a part of this group. And by the way, Sherry did a great job too. So I just wanted to get that out there. So sorry, like I said, sorry if I'm taking your thunder away.
No. There was nothing there contrary, Commissioner. Thank you for that. That message. What I wanted to just point out to the group is a reminder that the core mission of the district is road maintenance. And we've been fortunate that our road conditions within the district have been very good. We have a stable and continuous funding source. And by design, this group, this committee, with support of the board, has chosen to, slow down and curtail some of our pavement maintenance work, allowing the condition to slide a little bit, with the target of being 75 on the PCI scale overall network wide. And the graph that I have on the screen, which is from yesterday's presentation, illustrates the historical PCI. And you can see it's been in that mid to low 80s for quite some time. But over the last 3 years, we do see where we are on that glide path down towards 75. With the way that prices are going and inflation, I mean, things are only going to get more expensive, right? But our roads are going to continue to need maintenance. So I just want to remind people, right? We still have a lot of time before, we still have time before we're going to have to kind of slow the PBI down and then put more resource back into road maintenance. So I just want to remind people, it's not the well is not endless. And so I think the work that this group continues to do is phenomenal. But I just have to point this out because at some point we are going to have to slow the PBI train and get back to a more robust pavement condition or pavement maintenance program to maintain that condition rating that we have. We've been fortunate to where we've been able to limit our spending on the road maintenance to about $750,000 to $1 million. And that's been serving us well. But those dollars don't buy us as much as they used to. And so we are going to see this trend, we think, continue going in the direction it's going. And it's where it's supposed to be, right? This is what we planned. So this is nothing bad. This is by design, but we just have to be mindful of it. And it will be a few years before we actually get to that point. But I just don't want us to be all of a sudden, oh, gee, you know, we're at 72 or we're at 70, right? We want to make sure that this is always in our forefront. So that's all I wanted to say. Wasn't trying to be a downer from this great conversation about doing all this good work, but we do have to pay attention to the core mission of the district.
Absolutely. And how does this relate to other counties? We're still...
You're still in very good shape.
So, yes. As I always seem to notice when I move from county to mountain to county, all of a sudden you'll like, this must not be a Washington County road.
Yeah, sometimes you can tell instantly.
Great, thanks. And then Sherry, did you have anything else you wanted to say, talk about?
I wanted to just briefly talk about some changes that are coming up in the way that we access and distribute materials. Starting in May, we'll be using iAgenda, which is the same format that the board uses for distribution and accessing their materials. And I sent the link to you along with the link to the meeting materials last week. So if you want to go in and explore and kind of see what that looks like, you can. So it will be the agenda and all of the materials will be included in that page, as well as the link to the meeting. And then also, I think we'll also have the ability, as the board does, for search. Like if we want to search, historical IRMDAC agendas and materials to find something that we need. So that'll be coming in May. And curiously enough, if we have any questions, we have our expert here who is helping us with the transition, Diane Overstreet.
If you have a bit of time, would it be useful for you or her to give us a little dog and pony show of what it looks like? Or is that too hard?
Since it's not on the agenda, I don't know if we can officially.
You can do
sure. That. That's fine. There's no motions or anything. So we
just,
can go
you can do that. Yeah. Just
like, everybody wants to see, right?
Yeah. So why don't I bring it up? And Diane, if you wouldn't mind coming up, would you lead us through a little? You can use.
And I'm sure Commissioner Treese can chime in because she probably looks at it on a daily basis.
It's nice. Really easy to use too. So it's right on the it's right on the web.
Yeah. I think it's easy to navigate. It's a good system.
And let me share.
You can also see other meeting agendas, planning commission, others as well.
I know it'll be kind of cool to have all the boards and commissions doing this, right? Because everybody's moving toward this.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we already have implemented planning commission and the WCCC and the WCCC TAC for land use and transportation. And so our next switch here. Our next transition is IRMDAC and ROMAC both. And when you look at the screen, the board information is already on here, the Board of Commissioners.
Excuse me,
there's various.
Did you show them how to navigate to this screen though?
When you go to the county webpage, if you just search for boards and commissions, you can get to this page. Is the easiest way that I can tell you now. And we don't have the IRMDAC page in here visible to you yet because we're in the transition stage right now. But I'm going to show you a few of the other pages and you click on the meetings tab. And each type of meeting has its own area in here with. So for example, let me go down here to her laptop's just a little different than mine. So there's a housing authority, board of directors, there's a roundtable meeting, there's budget meetings, racial equity meetings, and then there's planning commission here on the left. And so you'll have the same type of area here where you'll give a brief description and then a little bit of information and then meetings. That it usually shows on this page the last three or the current three meetings. And then these meetings have been live streamed and recorded. So when there's a little camera there to the right, you can watch the meeting later because it's recorded. So if you forget something or want to go back and review something, it's right there where that camera is. So if I go to that February meeting for Planning Commission.
And we won't be live streaming, but we will be recording the video.
So it will have that on there. So when you go here, you can either see just the agenda itself, which we're looking at, or you can see the whole agenda packet, which has all the attachments. This will take a second to open. And so it has links all within here and page numbers. Well, this is kind of small, I apologize. I don't know if I can.
You go down on the right, on the bottom right, you should be able to
make it bigger. There, can you see that better?
Ah, thank you.
So there's links in here. The attachment links of different things from each meeting are in here. This is the same agenda that you get ahead of time, but afterwards it has everything connected to it, including the minutes. And so like this is a staff report that was attached, transportation report. You'll have similar kinds of documents and reports that are attached to yours. And then any other documents are part of it, kind of in the background, part of a document center, which that's what they refer to it, but it's literally just a document storage area. So right now, as we prepare between now and May, we're transferring all of your former documents, everything from the old website in the format it was in, over to this new area. And it's a much easier method, and I'll show you when we get together the next time, a much easier method to just do a search for former documents, former agendas, different reports. You'll be able to just go in there and type in a few words from each of those or something you're familiar with from that meeting, and you'll find those in there in that document center as part of this. So that's just kind of a brief look at it, and all the meetings are similar. Let's
see. This looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the other thing is afterwards, there's just a button here by your that will show you that video. It takes you straight to the recorded YouTube video from your meeting. There's a little bit more information, but and other options that would take more time. But one of the easy things is if you want to find an upcoming meeting that your agenda, then you just click on the date of your meeting right here, and it takes you straight to that.
And past prior meetings as well.
Prior meetings, yes. So you just, it's a really simple, very clear method to find your meetings, look at your calendar and click on dates, look at your search where that search button is right there in the center. I'll move the cursor to it right here. Go to the search and put in the words you're looking for and find documents. They're all in one place. And it's not just for you to use for IRMDAC. If you're looking at something for one of your meetings and you think of something that was at, that was mentioned earlier, the presentation that was made at the board meeting, you can just click over to the board meeting and look at that meeting and watch that presentation as well while you're in here.
So the dates that are in black, are they the actual meeting dates on the calendar?
Yes, various meetings. And if you
and then there are ones that are white and then gray, then there are ones that are gray. What's the difference?
Those are, I'm not sure why those are white on there.
Okay.
But if you go down here to another format of upcoming meetings right here, it just puts them in a date order list also. If it but says,
you can check on those dates. And it'll pull up the meeting and you can the meetings and you can go straight to video if you wanted to watch an old one, or if you're looking at a future one like the board agendas come out on Thursday. So after Thursday, you can look at what our agenda and our packet looks like for the 21st, for example.
Yes. So the white is the previous month and the next month. I just realized that when I glanced back to the computer.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I couldn't answer that when I was looking because I wasn't looking in the right place. And as Commissioner Tree said, it's very nice because you could just follow the arrows to the month you're looking for to click on a meeting and find that information for that meeting. You can also use the search feature. I won't go into that the details of it. It's like a lot of other search features. Click into it. It gives you options of putting different words, keywords, and things like that. And then that the other thing I did mention is that other meetings are in here as well. And we are, as a county, are continuing to add additional meetings and additional commissions to this so that they're all in one place instead of having them in a variety of places all throughout. Like here we have the salary commission meetings let's see.
Yeah, and the running list there on the right is all the different meetings by date. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, this WCCC TAC, Transportation Advisory Committee group, they support the WCCC and their meetings are the same way. So the county is trying to find this method and use this, or has found this method and is using this method to have all boards and commission meetings that we can all together in one spot for you, and to improve transparency, not just for the committees and commission members, but also for the public. There's a certain public-facing component of this, of everything that is available to them where they can search. And this should help people with things like public records requests or interest in meetings where they have struggled maybe in the past in finding that information, digging and drilling down through a website, but this way it'll all be right there for them in one spot.
Yeah. Looks great. I think we look forward to joining the AI agenda.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a group.
Thanks a lot for going through that with us.
You're welcome.
All right. So as we continue on with the roundtable, I did want to make one comment though. So I really want to acknowledge and thank Commissioner Treese for being our commissioner here. You're great. You're here all the time. You participate. So you really are a great commissioner for us, and I appreciate that. And also Sherry and Todd have put together a advisory committee and a process for us to be truly empowered. We are able to own and drive the PBI process and be the part of that with a lot of support and help from you guys. So you put together a structure that allowed the staff and the advisory committee to work together in partnership on an important process, which is the PBI process, and have us ultimately own those decisions and feel really empowered to make those changes to the community. So I thank you guys for that. I mean, this is clearly by design, I think one of the best advisory committees we have by the process that was put in place and the support we get from the commissioners, from Commissioner Tree. So thank you guys. Anything else in our roundtable? Yeah. Anything else we want to talk about in the roundtable? Any other comments from Daniel? I see your hand now.
Thank you. Since we happen to have this roundtable, I thought I would not hold back, as has been obvious. I've been doing all meeting. The only thing I'd like to add, and this kind of dovetails with the comments that we heard earlier from Todd, is that we are going to be in a spot, and Todd, I appreciate your continuing to remind us of this in terms of our, declining pavement conditions, as we've not been spending as much as we did at one point in time on maintaining and preserving our pavement. That the option isn't just to reach a point where we need to reduce our investments in maintaining and preserving, reduce our investments in safety improvements so that way we can spend more on preserving and maintaining our roadways. But we can also consider ways to bring more resources and more funding into earned, right? And so I think it's, in the spirit of the roundtable, I, as someone who's been involved in this for half a decade now or something, I'd like to see us be able to take on more projects every year, right? I'd like to see us increase perhaps the property tax rates that are flowing into IRMD, or some other means of getting more resources to make our communities safer and keep our roads in great condition, right? I think both are needed, right? I walk by one of the projects that was like a three, you know, frequently, and I'm like in traffic with my stroller, right? Like that should be a sidewalk. It also ranks below like 65 projects and $30 million in other investments, right? And so I, you know, not that IRMDAC itself as an entity is like well positioned to move forward with something like that, but I just want to make sure that it's really clear that there is an option beyond just spending less on safety as we have to spend more on maintenance, but that we can consider other ways to add more resources to the pot. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, looking forward for our next meeting. Our next meeting date is May 17th. So we will be again reviewing and approving our 150%
list.
We will also have an update on the IRMD budget, I think, right, Todd? Probably. Do we want to? We had the PBI communication plan. We definitely have to have that.
Yes.
Right. And then that's pretty full. I don't know if we want to then reschedule the status of the PBI projects that we didn't have today for May as well. Not too full of an agenda.
Oh, that depends. That might be too full of an agenda. We might want to, you know, what we could do. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
In July, we have the Neighborhood Streets Program on the agenda.
Right.
But as you know, we're making some adjustments to that program or reviewing. Well, we're not making adjustments yet, but we're reviewing it for possible adjustments. Perhaps we could postpone that to another meeting and move the PBI status to July.
Okay. We'll get July for that one. Sounds good.
And Marla spearheads that, right?
Marla spearheads that.
She's on here. Is that going to work for you, Marla?
Let me unmute and unmute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Before I start talking. Yeah. In May, Sherry and I have talked about that. So actually, I think it'll be really good because we've got several projects that are going out to bid in the next couple of weeks. And so I'll have a lot more to report on. This past year, we only completely constructed one project since the last time I reported to you. And so just various things have delayed the design on these, but now we're rolling again on not only the ones that the rest of the ones we selected in 2019, but we actually opened a bid on some of those that you selected in 2021 today. So there'll be much more to talk about in May.
So are you saying May or
July?
Or July.
Yeah, we'll move it to July, Marla.
Oh, July. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I mean, whatever works for you all works for me.
Okay.
Sorry about that long-winded
talk. Well, that's great. So I'd like to look.
I had one thought about that, and I don't know if that's a problem and staff coordination or not, but what if we put it on, if it's ready, what if we put it on the agenda for May? And if we somehow blow through the decision on the 150% list really fast, we can address that in May. And if we don't have time, then it slips to July. Table. But if we don't put it on the agenda, we can't talk about it, right?
Yeah, right. That's up right. to Marla.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's her.
And it sounds like she was prepared for May. So
I can be. If that's what works well for the committee.
Okay. We can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. My only question is if we don't get to it in July, how much work do you have to do to redo the presentation to update it?
I'll just update numbers. And if any dates or anything like that changes, that wouldn't
be too bad.
Much time.
Okay. Yeah. Don't want to double duty you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll keep that in May. Yeah. And then, so that keeps, and then we'll move the Neighborhood Streets Project to, no, that's still in July. No, we're fine.
Yes. If the PBI status does occur in May, then we'll move ahead with the NSP in July.
July. Right.
If the conversation goes long and we're not able to cover the PBI status in May, then we'll move that to July and postpone NSP to August.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We always have very full agendas, so that's great. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Any other last comments?
Well, I want to say something. So to kind of dovetail onto what Melissa said a few minutes ago, I don't know if anyone noticed, Daniel had to peel off, but if you look at his chat, I thought it was a nice message. He said, I'm sorry, friends, I have to jump off, looking forward to our next meeting. And I like the fact that he refers to this group as friends. And, you know, you all, thank you for your kind words, Melissa, but it's a joy for us to work with you all because, you know, you collaborate, you discuss, you're thoughtful, you respect each other. It's really nice to come to this group and really be productive. So, and I just thought with Daniel's message there, that was just a good indicator that you all are a team. And so, yeah, thank you very much for that. It's nice to be here.
Thank you. That might be a really great note to add and to end the meeting on. There's nothing further.
That's right.
We'll leave a little early and we'll see you all in May. So thank you so much.
Get a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Yeah, we have to second. Motion.
Great. Meeting's adjourned. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
End up.